that peaceful shore.
Oh, yeah.
Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to him belong. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, when nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Are you amen. Amen, Elder. Be used by the Lord.
Thank you. I am so grateful, and I praise the Lord that love lifted me. And I know that you are grateful to anybody grateful that it was his love that lifted you. Heavenly Father, speak to us once again through your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Tonight, I'm going to do my best to complete this message. I may not be able to complete it because I've got so much on my heart. And there's so much I want to talk about. I've entitled my remarks tonight, Me Versus Me. Me Against Me. The world has had some decisive battles. Our world and our nation has seen many battles. Battles that have turned the tide of history. For example, Waterloo, Gettysburg, the Battle of the Bulge and D-Day, Little Bighorn, the battles of Babylon, destroying Jerusalem, Persia, overcoming Babylon, and the battles between Greece and Persia, the battles between Rome, overcoming Greece. Then there's Waterloo, Leningrad, World War II, the Battle of Okinawa, Hiroshima, where the atomic bomb was first dropped, where 100,000 people in minutes were sent into eternity. Yes, the world has had many battles that have turned the tide of history, but startling it is to grasp the realization that many enemies and foes at war with us threaten to ruin our lives, and often without any good reason. You and I are in a battle. Now, in the most decisive battles, the Bible gives us encouragement with three exposures. First, the Bible exposes unexpected enemies in the battle that you and I fight. Unexpected enemies. And you may say, I don't have any enemies. Frankly, if Jesus had enemies, so will we. And notice what Jesus said. In John 15, he said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. That's what Jesus said. Not only that, but guess what? The Bible says that among these unexpected enemies that you and I will face, and again, as I mentioned, if Jesus had enemies, so will you and I. If he had enemies, there's no way you and I can avoid it. For example, the psalmist described in prophecy some of the enemies that Jesus had, and you may have had the same experience. For example, Psalm 41, it says, verse 5, my enemies speak evil of me. When will he die and his name perish? Verse 9, Psalms 41. Even my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. My margin says, acted as a traitor. That's exactly what happened to Jesus. When one of his trusted disciples, Judas, acted as a traitor. And then Psalms 55, the Bible goes on to describe the experience of Jesus in prophecy. And it was fulfilled. Psalms 55, verses 12 through 14 says, "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throne." In other words, it was the persons closest to him that Jesus said. He said that these were the ones, you were the one that hurt me. And the Bible says in Micah made the statement that a man's foes would be those closest to him. Jesus said in Matthew 10:36 that a man's foes would be they of his own household. Guess what the pen of inspiration says? Pen of inspiration says, the trials hardest to bear, these are the worst trials you'll ever face, the trials hardest to bear are those that come from our brethren, our own familiar friends. But even these trials may be borne with patience. And then in the wonderful book, Desire of Ages, the servant of the Lord says, of all persecution, the hardest to bear is variance in the home, the estrangement of dearest earthly friends. No wonder Jesus could say, a man's foes sometimes would be they who are closest to him, they of his own household. Now, but here's the good news about that. The point is, the Bible exposes unexpected enemies. The only ones who can really hurt you are those that are close to you. People that are not close to you may say and do hurtful things, but you can shrug it off easily. But people that are close to you, as the psalmist says, it was you, my friend. We went to church together. We prayed together. We shared communion together. It was you who hurt me. The hardest trial, the hardest persecution of all is the estrangement of dearest earthly friends. Now, but this is not the worst threat. Why these are not your worst threats? Because the Bible says, the psalmist said this, David sang in Psalms 23, verse 5. He said, yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Even if I go through the shadow of death. But then he went on to say in verse 5, why these enemies, these unexpected enemies, that's not the worst. These unexpected enemies. He says this, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In other words, I'm going to sit down at the welcome table and in the presence of enemies, God takes care of his children. Now, Psalms 56 and verse 9 goes on to say a reason why these unexpected enemies that can really hurt you, but that's not the worst. They're not your worst threat. That's not your biggest problem. Here's what Psalm 56, verse 9 says. It says in 56:9, when I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. You see, that's one reason. These are the reasons why these unexpected enemies, the people that try to hurt you, can sometimes hurt you. They can hurt us. But that's not your biggest threat or your worst problem, because God will prepare a table before you, for you in the presence of your enemies. He will bless you in the presence of your enemies. And also, the Bible says, when you cry out to God, the enemies, he will make your enemies turn back. Proverbs, the wise man said that when your ways please the Lord, he will make your enemies be at peace with you. In other words, the old folk used to say, when you do what's right, you please the Lord, then he'll make your enemies leave you alone. I wish if I had the right church with me, somebody would say amen right now. Anyhow, when we talk about the bigger enemies, let me move on to the second exposure. The Bible gives us encouragement with these three exposures. It exposes these unexpected enemies, people that you go to church with, people sometimes in your own home, in your community, in your family, your friends, that they will be your foes. That's what Jesus said. And that would be the hardest trial. They will hurt you the worst. That would be the biggest pain of all persecution. The hardest to bear is the persecution and the suffering and the hurt and the pain that people that are close to you can cause you. Now, the second exposure, the Bible exposes the worst of your enemies. Now, I'd like to share with you the fact that among the many foes and adversaries, there are demons. One third of all the angels in heaven were cast out. They became demons. Satan himself, evil people, Satan himself, surprisingly, Satan and evil people and all the demons are not the worst enemies you'll ever face. They're not the worst. Satan himself is not your worst enemy. Now, please remember, Satan is a defeated foe. James 4, verse 7 says, if you resist the devil, first if you surrender to God and resist the devil, he, Satan, will run from you. So he's not the worst foe. In fact, we're told, Revelation 12:11 says that the people of God overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And we're told in the pen of inspiration that we are to henceforward, we're to look upon Satan as a defeated foe. Now, please understand, that is not, we are not inherent victors. We didn't do it. He was defeated by Jesus Christ. And we are delegated victors, not inherent. I didn't defeat him. Jesus defeated him. But Jesus gives me his victory over Satan. And therefore, Satan is defeated by Jesus Christ. And we overcome Satan and his demons through the blood of the Lamb. Again, I know I can just hear the people of God saying amen. People that love God, they're saying amen right now.
Amen.
A defeated foe. You know, And you know, the Bible indicates that he is a defeated foe. So that's not your biggest enemy. That's not your worst enemy. That's not the worst. The foe worse than all the devils in hell. Big surprise. And he's exposed. The Bible exposes the worst of your enemies. The foe worse than all the devils in hell. The worse than Satan himself. The worst foe you and I will ever face is S-E-L-F. Self.
Amen.
Self.
Amen.
The most
Amen.
Decisive struggle, the greatest conflict ever, is the struggle for self-control.
Amen.
Steps to Christ says the battle line is drawn in every heart. Here's how Steps to Christ puts it. The warfare against self is the greatest battle that was ever fought. Greater than Waterloo? Greater than D-Day? Battle of the greater than the Little Bighorn? Greater than Gettysburg? Greater than Okinawa and Hiroshima? Yes. It says, greatest battle ever fought. Surrendering all to the will of God requires a struggle. But the soul must submit to God before it can be renewed in holiness. Step to Christ, page 43. And so this modern writers like C.S. Lewis, Francis Schaeffer, Alexander Solzhenitsyn have all agreed that the battle lines are drawn in every human heart. For example, here's what the pen of inspiration says again. The Christian life is a battle and a march, but the victory to be gained is not won by human power. Satan is a defeated foe, but not by human power. Goes on to say the field of conflict is the domain of the heart. The battle which we have to fight, the greatest battle that was ever fought by man, is the surrender of self to the will of God. The victory is not won without much earnest prayer, without the humbling of self at every step. Now, I wonder, is there anybody like me asking and praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you praying for that? Just say amen if you are.
Amen.
If you're praying.
Amen.
And
amen.
Anybody, do you recognize that you need more of the Holy Spirit in your life?
Amen.
You need more of the Holy Spirit's control in your life. I know I need
amen.
More.
Amen.
But I got a surprise for you. The biggest problem you and I have in this area of self-control, this worst enemy, is self. And here's the surprise. Where possible, I'm giving you this from the Mount of Blessing. Where possible, to force upon you with a hundredfold greater intensity the influence of the Spirit of God, it would not make you a Christian, a fit subject for heaven. The stronghold of Satan would not be broken. The will must be placed on the side of God's will.
Amen.
So it wouldn't happen with more. In other words, we want more of the Holy Spirit, but that's not going to do the job.
Jesus is
not willing. More of the Holy Spirit. No. That surprises me. You see, the big foe. Do we need more of the Holy Spirit? No. What we need is more surrender to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit already is all that we need. And if you get the Holy Spirit at all, you have the Holy Spirit. But the problem is, does the Holy Spirit have all of you and all of me, all of self? That is where the battle is. We need more surrender. Now, me against me. What am I talking about? The headline read, Tyson versus Tyson. Mike Tyson. It was an article in the newspaper about Mike Tyson. Once the heavyweight boxing champion of the world. This was 1987, 2 years earlier. At the age of 21, Mike Tyson, Iron Mike, had become the youngest man in history to win the heavyweight championship of the world. He had won 37 of his professional fights, 33 of them by knockouts, 18 of them in the first round. And with at least 10 good years before him, most people believed Tyson could dominate boxing as no other fighter before him. But according to Jose Torres, a longtime friend, Tyson was beset with many problems in his personal life that Torres said that Tyson was a walking time bomb. I wonder how many of us are walking time bombs. Sooner or later, we're going to go off one way or the other. We're walking something or other. We're either walking victors or walking time bombs. That's self. Walking conquerors or walking time bombs. Tyson was a product of Brooklyn's toughest neighborhood. He spent time in his early life in several detention centers. According to Torres, he was a street brawler, reckless driver, heavy drinker, and a womanizer who boasted of his conquest over women, both sexually and physically, but who at the same time had a strong dependence on others. He had a stormy personal life. And so this is what Torres said, the man who will beat Tyson isn't a top 10 contender. It's not Evander Holyfield or Ray Mercer or even George Foreman. The man who will beat Mike Tyson is Mike Tyson. The only real challenge in sight for Tyson is his fight within. Sure enough, Tyson was right. At the height of his career, February 1990, Tyson was knocked out by an unheard-of Buster Douglas, victim by his own admission of too much alcohol and too many women. It was me against me. Me against me. That's what beat Mike Tyson by an unheralded, underrated, and not all that gifted prize fighter. Tyson set himself up and beat himself, and he got himself knocked out. Now, guess what? I'm talking about how the battle lines are drawn between in every human heart. So that's the second exposure. First exposure is we have unexpected enemies. The people that are close to you can say some things that will hurt you the most. Those are the ones. They may be on your job. They may be in your school. They may be in your church. That can cause you pain. But the second exposure is the worst enemies. Satan is not your worst enemy. He's an enemy, deadly foe, but he's a defeated foe, not by you or me, but by Jesus Christ. He's defeated. not your worst enemy. Your worst enemy is self. Iron Mike was an example. But the third exposure, the Bible gives us this exposure. It exposes a unique strategy of victory. Now, as while we're talking about self is the foe. How do we defeat this foe, self? Well, I've read something that caught my interest. How we need to understand and recognize that there is a strategy of victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be unto God that gives us the victory. The Bible exposes the strategy of victory over self. First thing we have to recognize is that our worst foe is self. This caught my interest. C.D. Big Boy Blaylock was a boxer. A boxer back in the 1930s. And he won several fights. But his biggest fight, the fight of his life, came against a boxer from Mississippi State. Big Boy was a powerful man. C.D. Big Boy Blaylock. A powerful man with a devastating roundhouse swing. If he caught you with that swing, you were gone for the count. Powerful man. Big Boy Blaylock. Biggest fight of his career. So he was fighting this boxer from Mississippi State. And he decided to try this move, this devastating roundhouse swing that had knocked out so many others. He had knocked them out when he used that move. He decided to try this move about the fourth or fifth round. But at that very moment, his opponent stepped inside very close and ducked. Big Boy's arm wrapped around the man's head and swung in his roundhouse swing all the way around. He ended up hitting himself in the face instead of his opponent. He fell back and was down for the count. He is the only boxer in history of this dubious sport known to have knocked himself out. I'm having a hard time keeping from laughing, but I'm trying to suggest to you the seriousness. Don't knock yourself out. The Bible says your worst enemy, worse than Satan himself, is self. Big Boy knocked himself out. So here is the strategy of victory. Thanks be to God. The Bible exposes the strategy of victory that helps us not to knock ourselves out. Now, first, let me give you a passage from the Bible. Oh, this is so rich. The Word of God is so rich. Trust Him. Trust His Word. Psalms 101. This is what it says. Verse 2. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Walking within the house with a perfect heart. Now, I want to share something with you from the pen of inspiration. Again, the pen of inspiration says this, that It's my my life today, page 84. Satan. Now remember, this passage says this is a key verse here for winning me against me, self, the battle against self. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Here's the spirit of prophecy commentary on it, inspired commentary. Quote, Satan will have no power. Would you say it with me? No power.
No power.
No power. No power.
No power.
No power. No power. All right. Let me give it the statement, though. Satan will have no power over those who fully control themselves in the home. What is your home like? How do we treat our husbands, our wives? Let me correct that. Let me clean that up. How do you treat your husband? How do you treat your wife? How do you treat your relatives? How do you treat your children? How do you treat your parents? Satan will have no power over those who fully control themselves in the home. Self-control on the part of the members of the family will make home almost a paradise. That's what the pen of inspiration says. So that's, I'm talking about how God has exposed the unique strategy of victory. This is a unique strategy. Thanks be unto God that gives us the victory. First, in the strategy, this unique strategy, control yourself in the home, and Satan will have no power. Now, not only that, now controlling ourselves in the home, it talks about that. That's talking about how we talk to each other, how we speak to each other, how we treat each other, how we act. But it also has something to do with fashion, with appetite, with our appetites. Controlling ourselves in the home, if you eat right in the home, the Bible and the spirit of prophecy indicates if you control yourself in the home, Satan have no power. If you control your appetite in the home, now here's the spirit of prophecy commentary on that. I'm not just selling a wolf ticket here. Here it is, Temperance, page 21. The controlling power of appetite will prove the ruin of thousands when, if they had conquered on this point, they would have had moral power to gain the victory over every other temptation of Satan. You see it? Isn't it clear? Our appetite is developed in the home. And we can either control it or let it go wild. But it starts in the home. And if we control that appetite on this one point, certain the Lord says, you'll have moral power to gain the victory over every other temptation of Satan. Now, you know, the psychologists understand this, and the devil understands it too, because psychologists have come up with this, and I found this information helpful to me, challenging. Junk food executives don't eat the company's food. Did you know that? Every year, the average American eats 33 pounds of cheese, 70 pounds of sugar. On an average, 11% of our diet comes from saturated fats. And don't you feel all that comfortable because you live in Canada? I'm talking about USA, I'm talking about North America, and talking about Mexico and the islands. 11% of our diet comes from saturated fats. Every day we eat 8,500 milligrams of salt, 4 whopping teaspoons of salt every day. Michael Moss, in his book, Salt, Sugar, Fat, shows that during the past 20 years, some of America's largest food producers carefully, now watch this, this is how Satan works in the appetite, just like he worked on Eve and Adam in the garden, and how it was appetite that sunk the world. So the Michael Moss says that America's largest food producers studied how to, quote, unquote, help us crave all this junk food. They studied it. For example, some of the food industry's biggest names, including Campbell's Soup, General Foods, Kraft, PepsiCo, Cadbury, they hired Crave consultants like the scientist Dr. Howard Moskowitz to help them determine our bliss points. Happy hour. Bliss points. The point where food companies can optimize our cravings. Cash in. Create the craving and cash in. That's what Satan did with Eve. See, this will make you talk. This helps me to talk. This will make you as wise as God. You'll know what God knows. See, it hasn't hurt me at all. It'll make you wise as God. That's what Satan's bliss points. Make you feel good. Well, the point where food companies can optimize our cravings. As another example, Frito-Lay, makers of Lay's potato chips. Anybody had a potato chip? I had some this week. And I'm telling you, when this hit me, and I just picked this up today, I'm challenged. Frito-Lay, makers of Lay's potato chips and the 21 varieties of Cheetos, operate a research complex near Dallas, employing nearly 500 chemists, psychologists, and technicians, and spent up to $30 million a year to find the bliss point for their junk food. One food scientist called Cheetos one of the most marvelously constructed foods on the planet. Says it has a vanishing caloric density. In other words, it melts down quickly and your brain thinks there's no calories in it and you think you can just keep eating it. Can't eat just one. Interestingly, here's the thing that interests me too. Many of the former executives who Michael Moss interviewed for his book, avoid the foods they try to get us to eat. Howard Moskowitz over Pepsi doesn't drink Pepsi products because he claims soda is not good for your teeth. A Frito-Lay executive, they make the Lay's potato chips and Cheetos and all of that. He admitted to Moss that he avoids most processed foods like Cheetos, like other former food companies I met. This Frito-Lay executive overhauled his diet to avoid the very foods he worked so hard to perfect and to get you and me to eat. Now, I shared all that simply to say, man, don't knock yourself out. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. So control yourself in the home. That's the first unique strategy, victory. Number two, second unique strategy, and I got about 5 minutes to finish here. The second unique strategy from the pen of inspiration, the sooner the better that you develop self-control. One of the fruits of the Spirit, according to Galatians 5, is self-control, temperance, self-control. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. We're praying for the Holy Spirit. We must pray that God will give us that early rain, fruit, self-control. Sooner the better. Spirit of prophecy commentary on that is that self-control should start with the baby in the mother's arm. The mother's responsibility is to treat and to start developing self-control. It has to start in the cradle, is what the servant of the Lord says. And she goes on to say, before the age of three, before that child starts walking and talking, the child must be taught obedience and self-control. Were you taught? Or did most of our parents let us have our way when we hollered loud enough? They pampered us. But before the child walks and talks, the sooner the better. That's what the spirit of prophecy is. Number three, a unique strategy. To guard the avenues of the soul. Guard our words. Self-control in the home. Guard what you say. James 3, verse 2, 5 and 8 says a word can set all nature on fire. Proverbs 18:10 says that in our word, in our speech, in our talk, is life and death. We can talk life or we can talk death. We can speak positively or speak negatively. Proverbs 18:10. Life and death is in the power of the words. So we need to guard our words. We need to guard our minds and our thinking. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says, we must, through Christ, bring every thought into captivity to Christ. Every thought. That is the key to controlling self in the home. And once we control self in the home, we get the victory in the home, you will have the victory, servant of the Lord says, everywhere. Over every temptation, oh, everywhere, victory in the home. That's where we must. Satan has no power over those who control themselves in the home. So it starts with our words, our thinking, our minds, bringing every thought into captivity. Number four, we need to rely on special assistance from heaven. And here's where I've run out of time, and I'll do this another time. But special assistance from heaven, like Jesus in Gethsemane, when he fell to the earth, he was dying. Heaven sent special assistance, not to take the cup from him, but to give him the strength to bear it. And so the point I want to make here is that God will give you and me special assistance when we face the battle against self. He will either take our weaknesses from us, that craving, that thing that overwhelms us, or either he will give us the strength to overcome it. He will move it or strengthen us to break the chain. So I just want to conclude here that the weakest human being can gain the victory. Not the unique strategy of victory is not by fighting the problems, fighting the habit, but it's by surrender. Surrender is the unique strategy that God gives us. And then if we surrender ourselves to him, the Bible says we can say, 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be to God that gives us the victory. I didn't fight and win it. No. He gave it to me. He will give you the victory. As a matter of fact, You know what the servant of the Lord says? If pride and selfishness were laid aside, 5 minutes would solve most difficulties. In 5 minutes of surrender, most of our difficulties would be solved. The servant of the Lord went on to say also that self is difficult to conquer, but the government of self is the best government in the world. By putting on the ornament of meek and quiet spirit, 99 out of 100 of troubles with so terribly embittered life might be saved. 99 out of 100 troubles you and I face would be gone if we simply learn the government of self, self-control. Surrender and self-control, what is the key to self-control? Philippians 2:8. Here it is. Philippians 2:8. And it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let that mind. Satan will have no power over those who yield themselves fully to Christ. It's Christ control. Here's what the servant of the Lord says. When the soul surrenders itself to Christ, a new power takes possession of the heart. It's a supernatural work. Unless we yield ourselves to the control of Christ, see, this is not just self-control. We're taking it a little higher. Not just self-control, we're talking about Christ control. Unless we yield ourselves to the control of Christ, we should be dominated by the wicked one. We must inevitably be under the control of the one or the other of the two great powers. The only defense against evil is the indwelling of Christ in the heart through faith in his righteousness. So, there it is. It is Christ control. That's what you and I need. Well, there was a man, he was overheard, he worked at, I don't know what kind of establishment it was, but he was just fussing about this employee. The employee's name was Johnson. And the man was just fussing. He said, Johnson, you did it again. Johnson, when will you ever get it through your thick head? Do it the right way. Johnson, take this over there. Johnson, why are you so slow to get the job done? I asked you 10 minutes ago to take this over there. Johnson, bring that over there. Bring that back here. Johnson, it was Johnson this and Johnson that. And people were coming and going, and they heard the man steadily on Johnson's case. Johnson, do this. Johnson, when will you ever do it right? Do it right or not at all? Johnson, what makes your thick head so hard? Johnson. So finally, one of the people that overheard him came up and said, hey, sir, he said, why don't you fire this Johnson? Obviously, it's not going to work out. Why don't you fire the man and get somebody else? He said, I can't. I can't fire him. How come you can't fire him? There are plenty of people that want this job. He said, I can't fire him. And I can't get anybody else. How come you can't? I can't because I'm Johnson. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you is that the surrender of self goes a little bit beyond bossing Johnson or bossing Brewer or bossing Peter or bossing whatever your name is. It's me against me. But we have to take it a little higher. And when we take it higher, it's not just self-control, it's surrender to Christ. And then it becomes Christ control. And guess what Desire of Ages says? When we make that surrender to Christ, that when carrying out His will, you're really doing, I'm not quoting it the way she said it. Let me give it to you the way she said it. The Spirit of Prophecy put it this way. That we can come so close to Christ, Christ can control. Says if we consent, He will so identify Himself with our thoughts and aims, so blend our hearts and minds into conformity to His will, that when obeying Him, we shall be but carrying out our own impulses. Well, to start off with, you got to start off, we should have started off when you were a baby in the cradle. But many of us didn't get that start. Or we should have had the start when, before we were 3 years old, while we were just learning to walk and talk. Many of us didn't get that start. But we have to get the start in the home. And once we get that victory in the home, Satan will have no power. But to get the victory in the home, you may have to start by bossing Johnson. I got a boss brewer. Boss brewer. But like Paul, I discover that the good I would, I don't do. And the evil that I said I'm not going to do, I do. If it's just bossing, poor bossing brewer, me against me. But when I make the surrender of all my powers to Jesus Christ, Messages to Young People says, it cuts short a thousand struggles and simplifies the problems of life. When I make that surrender to Christ, I'll do what's right. But it's because He has so identified Himself, it becomes more than just me bossing Johnson or bossing Brewer. It's more than me against me. It's Christ controlling me, giving me the victory, giving you the victory. That's what I want. Is that what you want? Christ control. That's what I want, and I need it. And that's the Holy Spirit is the only one that can give it to you and give it to me. True. And you will only get it. He can give you 100-fold more, but it won't do any good unless and until we make the surrender. Lord, tonight, once again, to the best of my ability, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Will you join me in that prayer?
Oh, yes. Loving Lord, I want to surrender to You as well. And as Brother Earl comes in now and sings for us, may others turn it all over to You as well as Johnson did. Amen. Brother Earl?
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. Oh, to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily gives. I surrender all. I surrender all. Oh, to Thee, my blessed Savior.
Bless you all.